It is indeed a great joy and delight for me, and may I add a responsibility, to come to you again. We are studying together the book of Revelation, this last great prophetical book of the Bible. And we're down now to the end of chapter 8 and running into chapter 9. Here we have the blowing of the trumpets. Now, if the opening of the seals in the first, from chapter 6 on, was serious, the blowing of the trumpets is worse. As we said a while ago, and I repeat it, we have a growing intensity of the judgments of God upon men, until when we come to the opening of the vials of wrath, when they're poured out upon men without mixture, it's terrible. And yet, you know, if men refuse the grace of God, there is nothing left for a righteous, holy God but to pour judgment. And the purpose of the judgment is that men might turn to Him, that men might learn righteousness. Now, we find, as it was with the opening of the seals, likewise here with the trumpets, the first three have to do with the circumstances around men. In fact, I would say the first four, for the most part, have to do with the circumstances among men. You remember we had this question of the blowing of the trumpets. The first trumpet, there was hail and fire, and a third of the trees and all green grass was burned up. In the second trumpet, we have a mountain cast into the sea. We have a third of the sea was made blood. One third of the creatures in the sea died. One third of the ships were destroyed. Here you have again God dealing with men through circumstances. In the third trumpet, you have a star falling from heaven, with the result that all the springs of water were poisoned. One-third of the waters were poisoned. And this is the only one thus far where many men died. Religiously, we could say, here is the footage of a great apostate religious leader who poisons the minds of people. And by the way, if we were to go into this question like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 or in the book of Daniel chapter 9, and other portions of Scripture where you have the Antichrist in the last days will poison the minds of people concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we had the fourth trumpet, where we have one-third of the sun, moon, and stars smitten, and one-third of the day and night was darkened, impenetrable darkness. And you remember our Lord spoke in Matthew 24, in Luke 21, He spoke of them being signs in the heavens just before He returns to the earth. And if I might use this as a moral thing, you have here moral darkness is always bound to follow false teaching, which we had in the third one. Rejected light always leads to darkness. Oh, listen, my friend. I would like to emphasize that fact. This is a principle. Rejected light always turns to darkness. Take Judas, for example. Judas walked with our Savior for over 3 years. And our Lord was the light of the world. He heard our Lord's gracious words. He saw His wonderful miracles. There was nothing in the life of our Lord that He could find a flaw in. Yet, He sold His Lord for 30 pieces of silver. As Zechariah said, the price at which they valued God. And I read that Judas went out from the presence of the Lord, and it was night. Night. Impenetrable darkness. Rejected light always leads to darkness. And the more you spurn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you turn from the Word of God, the more you're going to go into darkness, and the darkness is going to become thicker and thicker until it becomes impenetrable. Now, in these four first blowing of the trumpets, these four judgments, I say, have to do with the surroundings of man. What God is trying to do, He wants men to turn to Him. And I'm repeating this statement over and over again. If men do not receive the grace of God, then God must teach them by His judgments. This is true. But I'm going to find out, as you go through the book of Revelation, very, very, very few learned of the righteousness of God. Thank God there were some. We found that in chapter 7, where a great multitude had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They had accepted the judgments of God. They saw them, and they took a stand for God, and the result was the rest of the world slew them. They were martyred for their testimony's sake. Now, before he goes into the next three woes, we have God giving us a warning in verse 13 of chapter 8. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Now, here you have God again calling out a warning. Woe to those who live on the earth. Woe to the earth dwellers because of the next three trumpets that are going to sound. So I'm going to read the next one. This will be the fifth trumpet in chapter 9, 1 to 12. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now let me just stop you for a moment to make it very clear. The ones who are not to be touched would be the 144,000 spoken of in chapter 7. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. That is, it was given to these locusts, these who came out from the bottomless pit. They was not kill men, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns with like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. In the Greek tongue had his name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. I've read that whole passage because I want you to have it in your mind as we go into it. Now notice, a star falls from heaven and was given the key to the abyss. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit, to the abyss. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose from the pit a smoke, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke from the pit. Now notice, there was a key given to him. And you know, key speaks of authority. You remember in Matthew 16:19, the Lord said to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It means authority. You take Revelation 1:18, our Savior, after resurrection, has the keys, the authority of death and of hell. But notice where he comes from. Comes from the abyss. Now, this is the place of demons. You remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31, or you take that whole instance. Our Lord, you remember, went across the Sea of Galilee, and he came, got out of the boat, and they met him out of the tombs, a man who was demon-possessed. And his name was Legion. And you remember he asked the Lord not to send him into the abyss, but that they might go into the swine. You remember he said, I know who you are. You are Jesus of Nazareth, the son of El Elyon, the son of the Most High God. And he made the request. These demons made the request that our Lord would not send them into the abyss. And by the way, may I inject here, demons know Jesus Christ, who he is. Even Jesus of Nazareth, the one who walked the earth. Demons know who he is. I've said this so often, and I'm not ashamed to repeat it. There's absolutely no question in heaven. There are no doubts in heaven concerning who Jesus is. There are no doubts in hell who Jesus is. The amazing thing is, the only place in God's universe where there is any doubt concerning the person of Jesus of Nazareth is in the hearts and lives of men here on earth. In fact, I would say the great majority of people in our land, in this land, being so blessed of God, they have no use for the Savior. A lot of religious leaders just say he was just a man who lived ahead of his time. He was a carpenter and so forth and so on. He was a teacher, a rabbi. But to acknowledge Jesus of Nazareth as the son of El Elyon, as the possessor of heaven and earth, who has authority not only in heaven and earth, but has authority over those which are in hell, in the abyss, as we have it here. It's the abyss. And you'll notice that the star that fell from heaven releases all the blasphemous things from the pit. So much so that God in heaven is blotted out. Now, it may be that this really could be one of the fallen angels. I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. I say that because you remember in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, about verses 17 to 19, our Lord spoke of the fact when he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the earth. And you remember we had that one-third of the heavens followed along with him. These are demons. These are fallen angels. And this fallen angel opens up, has the authority to open up the abyss. And out of that came, demons out of the pit. There came a smoke of a great furnace, and the sun, the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, 3 to 11 gives us the illustration, or should I say the characteristic, of these who came from the pit. You notice they came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, here he begins to talk about the description of these who were let loose from the pit. Now you'll notice in this blowing of the fifth trumpet, these strike at men. They do not strike at nature. It says in verse 4, they were commanded not to hurt the grass of the field, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those who were not marked by God. You see, they're going to be tormented 5 months. Now, by the way, 5 months is generally the life, I'm speaking of the regular locust, this little bug on earth, is the life of the locust about 5 months. But here you have them striking at men. One is reminded of the book of Exodus, chapter 10. Or you take the book of Joel, chapters 1 and 2. Now, 7 to 11, you have their description. And you'll notice they're savage, very savage. They're hard. They're hellish. They have no pity. They have no pity. And they strike like a scorpion. And you notice their leader. We have in verse 11, they have a leader named Apollyon, which means destroyer. Here is an organized army led by hell against men. And the destroyer who leads them into a work of destruction. And notice their instructions in verse 5. They were to torment men 5 months. They were not to kill them. They were to torture them. And it was limited to those who had received the mark of the beast. That is, those who were not marked by God. And if you were not marked by God, For the most part, you'd have to be marked by men. Otherwise, you'd be slain. And so you have here the hellish torture. 5 months. You know, I'm reminded of what God said to Moses before they went into the land in the book of Exodus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy chapter 7. He said, I will send the hornets ahead of you. Now, use hornets to drive out your enemies. See, but look at the effect upon men. They were to be tortured for 5 months. And the torture is so bad that men will want to die and can't die. Look at verse 6. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Having received the love of the truth, having refused the love of the truth, they're going to believe strong delusion to believe the lie. And they're going to come under the powers of hell. You know, human language is very hard to explain this, to make it real to your mind and my mind. That here the forces of hell, out of the pit, out of the abyss, are let loose upon men. And they're told not to kill men, just torture them. And for 5 months, they're limited in the length of time they shall torture men. And men will yearn to die. It'd be far better to die than to live. And death will flee away from them. They've got to receive their torture. You know, I have wondered sometime if we do not see such preparations for that day now. I've oftentimes in reading about this, the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared to battle. And they had hair like the hair of women. Their teeth was the teeth of lions. They had breastplates of iron. And the sound of them were the sound of their wings, or the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. You know, when I read that, I go, my, this could be with some of our weapons of warfare today. You think of some of our armament, our aerial armament, with their guns in their tails, and the noise of their engines, of their jets, and of how they come to destroy. But here, they don't destroy men. They just torture them. And there's no freedom from death. Listen, friend, I'm reminded of that verse in the book of Jude, you remember? We ought to snatch men as from the burning. Do you remember that scripture? We ought to be full of compassion. On some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Still seeking to win men for God. I say again, as one sees the preparation for this today, I would plead with anyone who has never accepted the Savior. I've been teaching the Word of God for a great many years. I believed, in fact, one of the first truths I learned when I became a Christian was the coming of the Lord. And that truth has been in my heart right down through these years. And in these days, especially when I see the condition of the world, I'm fully convinced in my own mind that some of the things that men are preparing, like poison gases or atomic warfare and so on, that these are going to be some of the things used in the judgments of God. And it's terrible to think that men shall suffer 5 months and will seek death and can't find it. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, if you've never accepted the Savior, if ever you've given any serious thought to it, please do it. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I can't guarantee to you tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Do you remember? Too late will be the cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And if ever you ever thought of wanting to know the Savior, you better do it now. You know, there are so many who've heard the gospel and say, well, one of these days I'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But there's plenty of time yet. Friend, listen, there is no time left. You can't guarantee beyond today. And as the Word of God says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And God wants you to know Him, to know His precious Son as your own personal Savior. And you do it today.